Chapter 3, A Special Sunday. For the needy shall not alway be forgotten, the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Psalm 9, verse 18. And now we must return to where we left Ruth at the beginning of the previous chapter. As she slowly made her way along the road on that beautiful summer morning, you must remember she was only a young girl. She came to the conclusion that, after all, it would be better for her not to go to chapel anymore, against her mother's wishes, and that she would stay at home. So she decided it was best to cease from being present at the services, and asked God to forgive her if she did not go again. This was a great grief to her, for she looked forward so much to Sunday, and often on that morning she would wake up early and sing the little hymn, "This is the day when Christ arose, so early from the dead. Why should I keep my eyelids closed and waste my hours in bed?" There was a dear old lady at the chapel who always would make room in her seat for Ruth and the children. How well it is when those who are older speak kindly to the young, and pray for them that they may, if God's will, be raised up as a seed to serve Him in the days to come. Ruth had not much time to read her Bible, which she loved so much, and even that week her mother had said that she would burn it. I do not want my little readers to think that it is right for them to disobey their parents. The Bible plainly says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." But when it comes to a matter of serving God, we must remember also the words of Jesus, "Whosoever loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me." Well, Ruth got to the little country chapel that morning just as they were singing the first hymn. The minister then read and prayed as usual, and gave out his text, which was, "Fear not, for I am with thee." In the course of his sermon, Mr. Jones, for that was the minister's name, was led to speak of some of the hardships he had passed through in his young days. He had been a poor workhouse boy, and was afterwards placed with a farmer who feared not God. At that time, Mr. Jones loved his Bible and tried to read it when he could find an opportunity, but he was very much afraid of his master, so he used to hide it under the straw by the horse's feet in the stable or in the manger. You can imagine poor Ruth's feelings and her surprise as she heard this, for that very week she had been so troubled to know where to hide her Bible and hymn book, as her mother had told the other children to tell her if they saw Ruth reading them, and she would have the books destroyed. Ruth had wrapped them up very carefully and hidden them up in the chimney in one of the bedrooms, where they did not have a fire. It seemed so wonderful to her that the minister should speak as he did that Sunday morning. Of course, he knew nothing about her trial or her temptation. She felt, from that time, she must go to chapel, whatever might happen, and she returned home that morning with a stronger desire than ever to be found in the house of God whenever she could. Perhaps some of you may think the services at chapel are rather long and dull, and that there is not much said by the minister that you can understand. But you must remember that God sees children when they are in His house, and sometimes He speaks to them by His ministers. When any seek Him and desire to hear His voice, it is because He will be to them the good shepherd who loves the lambs as well as the sheep. The writer well remembers two children who once were quarreling, and what made it more sad, it was on a Sabbath morning. The little girl was very aggravating, and the little boy said in a passion, "I hate you." The girl at once replied, "It says in the Bible, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." The boy argued that those words were not in the Bible, but the girl still said that they were. However, when they got to chapel that morning, the old minister read from the first epistle of John, chapter 3, in which is the verse, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer," and made some remarks upon it. The boy and girl never forgot the incident, and God seemed very near to them that Sunday. Children, do not forget that God's eye is ever on you, and that he sees all your thoughts and actions. How very different our lives would be if we could remember more often that wonderful text, "Thou, God, seest me."